night that Jesus passed by my way. I'm thankful for the sweet spirit tonight. I don't want to do anything to mess that up. I just want to glorify God. I believe that's all that we can do is exalt Him, and I believe that's what's been done tonight. I'm thankful for the day that Jesus passed by my way. It'd be a terrible thought tonight if you're here and you've never been saved to leave here and know that Jesus passed by your way and you did not call on Him while He was nigh. That'd be a terrible thought. That'd be a scary thought to me, to know that God passed by my way and I may have turned my back to Him. I pray you wouldn't do that tonight. Would you look with me in the book of Luke in chapter number 9? I'm thankful for all the singing tonight. It's been a privilege. Luke chapter number 9. I want to look there in verse number 28. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. He says, Luke chapter 9, verse 28, you can stand if you'd like in honor of the reading of God's Word. He said, "And it came to pass, about in 8 days after these sayings, He," or Jesus, "took Peter and John and James, and went up into a mountain to pray. And as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment," or His clothes, "was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with Him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory," and listen to this, "and spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with Him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw His glory, and the two men that stood with Him." I want to preach on this subject tonight. I want to preach on the subject that interested heaven. The subject that interested heaven. You know what interested them? We read of a text where all of heaven came down on a mount. The holy mount of God, Peter calls it. The mount that we call the Mount of Transfiguration. Heaven literally comes down to earth. And you know what heaven is interested in? It says they spake of His decease, which He should accomplish. Father, Lord, we thank You for the privilege to preach Your Word tonight. Lord, I appreciate, God, I'm thankful, Lord, that You are with us. Lord, I pray we would not take it lightly, Lord, that You have passed by our way tonight. Lord, all I pray, my only prayer, is that Your will be done, Lord, in this church, Lord, in our lives, Lord, in our homes. All my pray, God, is that You would be glorified and exalted and draw sinners unto You. Lord, I pray that You'd help us tonight. Center our focus upon You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You for standing. This account that we have just read tonight, as I've said, this account in Luke chapter 9 is telling us about an instance that took place between Jesus and three of His disciples, Peter, James, and John. This situation took place upon a mountain that has come to be known as the Mount of Transfiguration. It is called the Mount of Transfiguration. Not that we find that word. We do find that word in another account of the gospel. But what that means is that Jesus was transfigured or transformed in front of His disciples. That means that God, in other words, pulled back the curtain of heaven and He allowed three of Jesus' disciples to see a glimpse of the glory of God. Aren't you thankful for the times whenever God allows us to pull back the curtains of heaven a little bit and see a glimpse of the glory of God? God is a God that does that. Not everything that God has for us does He allow us to see now, but aren't you thankful there's times when He gives us a glimpse of it anyway? Moses got to experience that whenever God passed by him and his face was lightened because he saw the hinder parts of God and the glory of God. He didn't get to see it all, but he got to see a glimpse. Friend, the disciples here didn't get to see it all, but they got to see a glimpse of the transfiguration of Christ. Aren't you thankful for the times when we get to come to the house of God and we don't get to see it all, but we get to see a glimpse of the power and the glory and brightness of Jesus Christ? Well, that is what is happening here. And so this event is also found in Mark chapter 9. It's found in Matthew chapter 17, and it's found in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter talked about this event. He said, "We were eyewitnesses of the glory of God." Preceding this event, before this took place, Jesus had just given power and authority to his disciples. He had given them the power to go out and to preach the gospel, and to cast out demons, and to cure diseases, and to preach the kingdom of God. And so whenever this began to take place, the amazing works of God began to be seen by all of Israel. And Israel began to talk more and more about this man named Jesus. And at this point, John the Baptist had been killed. And so some people began to say that Jesus was a John the Baptist that was back from the dead. They began to say that Jesus was a reincarnated John the Baptist. And then others began to say, you know how rumors begin to spread? It goes very well in Baptist churches. We're very well acquainted with rumors. And so they began to say that Jesus was John the Baptist. And then they began to say that Jesus was Elijah that had come again from heaven. And others began to say that he was some of the other prophets of old that were risen again. They got it everywhere but the right answer. I mean, they were all over it, but they weren't there. And so Jesus, after all this, the disciples begin to tell him about these rumors. And Jesus turned to his disciples, and he said these words, and you'll know them. He said, Whom say ye that I am? You remember that? He said, what say men? They said, some say Elias, some say John the Baptist. He said, whom do you say that I am? And you'll remember that Peter answered him. And what did he say? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Peter wasn't right all the time, but Peter was for sure right on that one. He said, thou art the Christ. Now, if you read, you'll remember right after this, Jesus first of all charges them to tell no man these things. You say, why did he do that? Well, he begins to tell them that he must first suffer many things. He told them he would be rejected and he would be slain, and the third day he would rise again. You can find this in Luke chapter 9. There in verse 22, he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain. Now, I want you to think about this. What is Jesus trying to get across to them? He is trying to show his disciples and tell them about the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why in verse 23, he said, if any man will follow me, let him first deny himself and take up his what? His cross and follow me. Now, when you and me read this, we understand immediately what he's talking about. I mean, this splashes off us like water on a duck's back. I mean, of course, Jesus, the cross, obviously, but what you need to know is actually this was the first time that Jesus had relayed to his disciples that he was going to die. They had never thought about that before. It had been talked about in Isaiah that he'd be led as a lamb to the slaughter, in Daniel that the Messiah would be cut off. But Israel's eyes were blinded, and they did not understand that their Messiah was going to die for them. And so the cross was something that was foreign to the disciples. They didn't understand that. Jesus is trying to show them the importance of the cross. You know what happened? Peter tried to rebuke Jesus. He said, be it far from thee. Well, fast forward 8 days. Jesus, for the first time, had told his disciples about the cross, and 8 days later, in verse 28, he said, and 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. So 8 days after he tells them about the cross, he goes to pray on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus begins to do what he always did. He begins to pray. And then the disciples begin to do what they always do. They went to sleep, right? I mean, we're good at that. And so here they are. Jesus is praying as he does, and the disciples are sleeping as they do. And while this is going on, as he begins to pray more earnestly and fervently, the glory of God begins to come down. And it says that the countenance and the visage of Christ is changed. He begins to be transfigured. He begins to be transformed. It says his raiment was exceeding white as snow. It says it was glistening. Matthew tells us this detail. He said his clothes were whiter than any launderer on earth could get them. Friends, shout could not get your clothes as white as Jesus Christ, right? I mean, these clothes were shining white and bright. And not only this, it says his face did shine as the sun. And not only this, but then Moses and Elijah, some of the most powerful prophets in the Old Testament, they literally come down from heaven in a cloud of glory. And then there's a, you know what happens? It says they entered into the cloud. You know what happened? Heaven literally came down. Can I say this? It's good that we're going to heaven. It's even better when heaven comes down to us. And so heaven comes down. And then, not only this, but the book of Luke is the only book that lets us in on this detail. The book of Luke's the only book that lets us know what they talked about. The other books don't talk about any of that. The only book is Luke, and it tells us what they spake of. What did they spake? It says there in verse 31, it says, who appeared in glory, and they spake of his decease. I want you to think about that. They didn't speak about all of the miracles that Christ had been doing. The subject that they were interested in was not the ministry of Christ to Israel. They did not speak about his coming kingdom. They did not speak about how he would overpower the Romans. They did not speak about even his second coming. They didn't tell him how ready they were for him to get back to heaven. That was not the subject that interested heaven. What was it? They simply spake of one thing. They spake of the death of Jesus Christ. Friend, that was the topic that interested heaven. In the midst of his glory, brightness, and whiteness, friend, he was talking with two resurrected prophets. All they spake of was not his life, not his resurrection, not his ascension, but his death. Friend, what makes this so important is 8 days before, Jesus told his disciples he was going to die. And Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus told him, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter did not understand that whenever he rejected the cross, he was actually rejecting salvation for his soul. He was actually rejecting the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what Jesus said? Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me. And so here Peter is, the one who had rebuked Jesus, and God allows him to come up into the mount. And the subject that Evan talks about is the very subject that he rejected. You know what the problem was? I don't know if Peter got to hear about it because he was asleep. Here's my burden tonight. I'll give you this, and if you don't get nothing else out of this sermon, get this. Friend, the subject that interested heaven was the cross of Jesus Christ. And friend, God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I can assure you today, as God is still on the throne, the subject that heaven is still interested in is the cross of Jesus Christ. But I'm afraid that many of our churches are so asleep that we've missed out out on the subject that interest is heaven. Friend, we've missed out on the things of God that He wants us to pay attention to. Friend, Calvary is still the subject that interests heaven. We live in an age with so many new modern Christianity methods and programs, and people tend to think that we're too spiritually advanced to think of such simple Christian themes as the cross of Jesus Christ. There's those who think that our culture is too refined to hear about the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. I'm afraid there are those who don't want to hear about a bloody gospel. But friend, that is the only gospel that will save our souls. Friend, that is the way in which we can come unto God, is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I just say this? You better be careful if you complain about a preacher when he preaches on a simple subject like the cross or salvation. You better be very careful before you say things like, well, he's just a salvation preacher. Friend, can I say this? I am nothing but a salvation preacher. I don't preach anything else other than say, by the grace of Jesus Christ, you must come one way, and that is by the cross of Jesus Christ. Friend, that is the only way. Friend, I believe you are to preach the whole counsel of Jesus Christ. But what I'm trying to get at is, if there is no cross, then there is no counsel in the first place. Friend, if Christ be not crucified, our preaching is vain. And friend, if he was not crucified and he was not risen, then our preaching is emptiness. And friend, heaven is still interested in the cross. The crucifixion is still the whole foundation of the matter. Can I say this, even to those of you that may consider yourself to be, maybe, I guess the word is advanced as a Christian, maybe mature as a Christian, maybe those of you that would consider yourself a Bible studier, friend, can I warn you that you should never, ever, ever get to a place where you think you have moved past the subject of the cross. Friend, don't you ever get tired of hearing about the cross. Friend, I would rather hear about the cross than any lineage or any Bible fact or nugget. Friend, I want to hear about the cross of Christ and Him crucified and lifted up. One man said we should enlarge on the subject constantly and return to it continually. You know what Mike Holcomb said, one of the singers of the Inspirations and a preacher? He said, I made it a point in my life as a preacher. I made it a point that every time I'd preach, I would take my text, and no matter where I started, I would make a beeline to the cross. And no matter where I started, I'd make sure that I ended up at the cross of Jesus Christ. Friend, I think that's a pretty good rule to go by today. Friend, if someone were to follow your life, where would it lead them? Would it lead them to the cross of Christ? Friend, if you are to read and study your Bible carefully, you will find there is a scarlet thread that runs through every page of your Bible, through every verse and every word. And that scarlet thread will lead you straight to the cross of Calvary. And if you were to take out that scarlet thread, then your Bible would not be worth carrying home tonight. I mean, it would not be worth the pages that it was written upon. Friend, I'm thankful for that scarlet thread. And friend, my prayer is that we never move past Calvary. We never lose sight of it. Never lose focus of it. I thought about this. I don't have no outline tonight. I'm just giving you some thoughts. I thought about this. It says they spake of his decease. The subject that interested them was the cross. But then it says they spake of his decease, which what? Which he should accomplish. Friend, it was not the death that the devil accomplished. Friend, it was not the death that Pilate accomplished. It was not the death that Herod or the Jews or the Romans accomplished. Friend, it was the death that Jesus Christ would accomplish. He said there in John 10, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd what? He giveth his life for the sheep. He said in verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. He said, verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." Friend, we serve a Christ that accomplished his own death. I don't know of too many people that have accomplished their own decease. Can I say this? Christ's death was better proof of his godhood. It was better proof of his divinity than even his resurrection. Others have been raised from the dead, but no man ever died like Christ. Friend, no man ever died. Christ did not die as a martyr. He died as a savior. And friend, if that's not something to say amen to, I don't know what in the world is. Friend, Calvary is the subject that heaven is still interested in. Friend, it takes the cross of Christ. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I want you to know that it's not by works of righteousness. It's not by the deeds of the law. Friend, it's not because your family is saved. Friend, it's going to be because you came by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you want to get to a place of salvation, then you better find yourself at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. Friend, the cross is the X that marks the spot. And friend, without the preaching of the cross, darkened hearts will not be enlightened. Proud hearts will not be humbled. Mourning hearts will not be comforted. And fainting hearts will not be cheered. One man said this. He said, "A gospel without the cross is like bringing a hungry man to a splendid banquet hall, filled with golden plates and silver utensils, and having nothing there for him to eat." Friend, it does not matter how pretty your church looks. It does not matter how well you dress up. It does not matter how big you smile whenever you shake the preacher's hand. Friend, if we are not here to see Christ crucified, then everything we do is in vain tonight. In everything we do, in our outreach, I was talking to one of the men, Brother Ronnie, about the outreach that he's been doing and the church is involved in. Friend, Christ must be at the center of it all. Without the preaching of the cross, our churches are like unto dead carcasses. They are wells without water. They are hospitals without nurses. They are fig trees without fruit. They are watchmen that are asleep. They are as a silent trumpet, a mute witness, a messenger without a message, a lighthouse without a light, a stumbling block to weak believers, a comfort to lost sinners, a hotbed for sin, and a joy to the devil, and an offense to God. That sounds pretty serious, wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you agree the cross makes an entire change upon a place? Friend, what I'm trying to say tonight is we simply cannot do without the cross. I want you to think about John tonight. John was one of the disciples that was there whenever heaven came down. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he was one of the disciples that saw the glory of God, and he was there when they spake of the cross. He was the only disciple who also stood at the foot of the cross at Calvary. It was there that John was instructed by Jesus to take care of his own mother there at the cross. So imagine John. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw that they spake of the cross. And then he was there at the cross and saw with his own eyes the blood that Jesus Christ shed for him. But it was also John in the book of Revelation who God took up to heaven. And you remember there in chapter 5, it was John who viewed the throne, and then he viewed the Lamb. You remember there it says in chapter 5, verse 6, John said, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a Lamb," what? "As it had been slain." Friend, can I tell you this? When we all get to heaven, friend, there after all of eternity begins to roll on, after time is taken to a close, friend, even then we will not get past the subject of the cross of Jesus Christ. Friend, there in the center of it all, he says, there was a lamb as it had been slain. You will never move past the cross of Jesus Christ. Friend, can I say this? If you're here today and you've never been saved, even if you could make it to heaven without coming by the way of the cross, you wouldn't be happy there once you got there. You know why? For one reason, you would feel very out of place. And whenever all of heaven begins to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain," that'll be a song you wouldn't be able to take part in. Friend, I don't know about you, but there is only one way to heaven. And there's only one way I want to go by, and that is by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is by the cross of Christ. I'll leave you with this. One man said this. He said, if you have not found that the cross of Calvary is the foundation of the whole matter, he said, then your religion is heaven without a sun. It is a compass without a needle. It is a clock without springs, and it is a lamp without oil. It will not comfort you, and it will not deliver your soul from hell. You know the subject that heaven is still interested in today? It's the cross. Now listen, I know everybody's ready to go home and go to sleep or watch a football game or something. But I'm here to tell you today, there's many reasons not to serve God that people use, but there's only one reason to serve, and that is the cross. Friend, there's only one reason why we're gathered here, and if you've lost sight of that, I pray, just as our brother said this morning before Sunday school, maybe you need your clock to get adjusted with God. Friend, maybe you need to line up your life with the cross of Christ, and you need to get behind that cross and take up that cross. Maybe you need to remember where you came from and how you got saved and where you met Christ. And you better remember moving forward. This church is praying, seeking God's will for a pastor. It's seeking God's will that there would be laborers added unto the church and the ministries of the church. And friend, if we forget the purpose of doing all this, then it is all in vain. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes as the musicians go ahead and make their way forward, preparing a song tonight. I don't know who this message is for tonight. Really, it's for everybody. It's for me. But maybe there's one here tonight and you say, Revis, I've never been saved. You say, Revis, I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. I've never found myself spiritually at the foot of the cross. You say, Revis, I'd like for you to pray for me. I'd like to be saved. Anybody like that? Maybe you'd just like to raise your hand just so I can see, just to pray for you. And you'd like to say, Revis, I've never been saved. Anybody like that? You honestly don't even have to really tell me or lift your hand to me. You can pray right where you're at. You can come down to this altar and pray. You can grab your parent or somebody beside you by the hand and say, would you please pray with me, pray for me. Maybe you need to be saved tonight. Maybe those are some here, you say, Revis, I've been saved, but I've lost sight of the cross tonight. And I need to get my life adjusted back in tune with God. You'd like to say, Revis, pray for me. Anybody like that? Raise your hand, come down to this altar, whatever you feel God wants you to do. I tell you what, we're going to pray, then we'll stand, sing, Brother David will lead us. Father, Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, for your word. God, you told me it would not return unto you void. Lord, but it would prosper in the thing whereto you sent it. It would accomplish that which you please. So, God, I pray, Lord, I know you're going to keep your promise tonight. Lord, I pray if there's one here that's never been saved, Lord, that you would please touch them and help them, Father. Lord, and convict them. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing?
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for
thankful for that tonight. Thankful for the old rugged cross. He says, when he calls me one day to my home far away, there with him is glory I'll share. That song has been going through my mind this whole day on I Feel Like Traveling On.